B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final hour, Felger and Maz here, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. You can't catch us on the radio. Catch us online. The app for your smartphone. Great product. Super simple. I have it. I use it. That's how simple it is. And I can't download crap. But the stream comes right up when you download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app or on online on the website. You can also catch us there as well. Celtics rebuild, Bruins rebuild, and Pats Chiefs. Three items. Your calls the whole rest of the way. Here's Dan in Somerville back on the Celtics. Go ahead, Dan.
How are you doing, guys? Two really quick points. First of all, I think the reason why Danny isn't cashing in on these picks or trading for a vet is because he's seeing what's going on down in Philly. And their process is done, and you're left with an unhappy Embiid and Ben Simmons. Second thing.
Well, hold on. That's because they traded low first-round picks instead of sending him to the G League?
No, all I'm saying is you got to – I think it's – I know I totally agree with you. You shouldn't be stashing these guys away in the G League. Trade for that veteran. Like, I don't understand what he's doing at this point. He shouldn't be just stashing away these picks and kicking the can down the road. He should be cashing it in for the veteran.
Okay, thank you.
But I think it scares him a little bit because he sees the disaster that's going on in Philly.
See, I just don't get that comparison.
Me neither, because I would tell you that Philly did trade for some veterans. I mean, they traded for Butler. They traded for Tobias Harris.
Maybe that's what he's talking about.
But he's saying Ainge should trade for veterans.
Yeah, but Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris did not ruin the Sixers. The Sixers ruined the Sixers. The coach is a bozo. The best player can't shoot. And, well, their best player is a dog. Their second best player can't shoot. And their coach is a bozo. That's what ruined the Sixers. Not Tobias Harris or Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I don't think it's related to the, you know, how Philly went about it after they drafted the players. I don't, you know, you follow me?
They don't know how to play.
Yeah, to me it was the coaching there was a problem. I think that was probably the biggest thing.
And Embiid's a bad lead dog.
Horrible. Horrible. They need a veteran guy. The theory, that's why they brought Horford in, right? They need a veteran guy there to sort of try to get them all in the beam, except Horford had the same problem there that he had here.
Jimmy Butler was the right idea. They took the NBA champion Toronto Raptors to the last second of Game 7. They almost knocked him off.
Yeah.
So don't, like, Jimmy Butler actually worked there compared to what else it's been. So
that's where Doc Rivers should go, by the way.
Philly would be a good spot for him.
Excellent. Excellent. But just, you know, back to the Celtics and the, you know, last year he says he doesn't want to give up multiple picks. Doesn't want to give up multiple picks for a rental.
I need him.
Okay. So, and for what, which, if they were high picks that turned into, you know, foundational players, I would agree. I'm not giving up the future for a rental. But these picks are nothing. They're mid to late first round picks that turn into absolute cannon fodder for you. They're all in Maine or the end of your bench. And so, like, I don't know what the real give there is. He was also calling this Bertens in Washington what would have been their ninth player. So he says that guy would have had to get in line behind Semi Ojeleye and Enes Kanter and Brad Wanamaker and all this, you know, effluvium that did nothing for you in the postseason.
Yeah, I didn't like that part of it, the comment either. Like, for a guy who would be our ninth man. Meanwhile, how many guys did they play in the playoffs? When Hayward was there, six?
He's got to, you know, fall a little out of love with what he's built or just, you know, take a little harder look at it and make a hard choice.
So you know what I wonder on some level? Whether they just think they're not there yet.
Oh, I know that's what they probably think.
Right? Like that. Whether they just say, well, we're not going to make the trade because we're not there yet. And it'd just be waste. It'd be a waste. So we'll save it for later and we'll make the trade later. I don't know that. I wonder, though.
No, I bet he does believe that. I think you can tie that into his answer about who's your closer. And he says, well, the closest we have to it is Tatum, and he's a closer now because he knows when to pass, which is just screaming out, we don't have a closer. And he's saying, well, we don't have the guy yet. And so when he develops and he's the guy, then, you know, we'll act accordingly. So maybe he's just saying, I've been saying this for a couple of years. He doesn't really believe in the team as a championship team.
No, I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. I would say, though, that after that thing that happened in the bubble, Marcus Smart cannot be shooting 22 times in an elimination game.
It's just how much longer are you going to wait? You know, so when is the maturity date? You know, when is it? Tatum's now going into his fourth year. Smart's going into his seventh. Brown's going into his sixth. Like, when are we looking at here? Let's grab Mike and Woburn on the hockey. Go ahead, Michael.
Asterisk City, baby.
You can't tell me otherwise.
Oh, come on. Would you stop? That's the best team, Mike. Come on.
Of course it's the best team. Absolutely. Because they had 4 months to recuperate. That they're the best team. I'm not even arguing with you about that.
Well, but, you know,
were they the best team in March?
Mike.
Yeah, but it's not one in March.
Everybody had 4 months to recuperate.
Okay, that's good, Tony. That's right. Did everybody have the problems Tampa had? Mike just said the three biggest guys on that team were Vasilevskiy, McDonough, and Hedman. McDonough and Hedman were both hurt when the season stopped. They both were. McDonough had to come back early because Hedman was out the last two games. He got hurt in the game against the Bruins, and he missed the next two. There's an article from The Athletic that said they both weren't healthy until phase two started, which was in June. So they would have either missed the postseason or been shelled of themselves. And the other thing, Vasilevskiy, he's been run into the ground by Cooper for 2 years running. And I can show you an article where he complains that 50 games is being overworked. You have none of the stuff that caused them to choke last year.
Okay, but hold on. Your goalie would have stood up? How does he do with a lot of work?
Who?
Tuukka.
Mike, you're putting this as a Bruins versus Tampa thing. It's not. I'm not making this as a Bruins versus Tampa thing. I'm saying that this result is what you get when you take out the entire regular season and put it in a vacuum and have teams just play. It's like turning on your Xbox and starting a playoffs with NHL 20. Let me make one example.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, one example. Bruins in 2011, pretty physical team, right?
Yep.
Okay, you know how many hits they had in 25 postseason games?
I don't know the number.
665. Do you know how many Tampa had in 25 games? They played 25 this year.
I don't know.
1,175.
Wow.
You cannot play that style of hockey after 82-game regular season. This was an aberration. And it happened to fit that team to a T because they were the most physical and they were the most skilled. They were also, at the end of March, the most run down and the most vulnerable.
Okay, Mike. I mean,
and then the pandemic happened, and there's nothing you can do about that. So
they're still the best team.
So here's what I would say. So maybe they caught a little break. What championship team doesn't?
Thank you.
What championship team doesn't catch a break? How many of them go through, steamroll everybody, and never have a lucky break? It never happens that way. I think the hockey one, in all honesty, the hockey postseason, with everything that's gone on this year, was the closest thing to a pure championship of any of the four major sports. I'll let you know about baseball when it's over.
I mean, to me, Victor Hedman looked pretty good from the jump in this.
Yeah, I don't. To me, there's no asterisk on that one. I'm sorry. I don't.
I love him. He's become so unhinged with this and, like, all refs in all sports. But anytime you know someone's crazy, with like, I have some literature I'd like you to read. I have an article right here I need you to look at. Okay.
Did Murray ruin Giolito's?
Oh, yeah. First guy singled up the middle. First guy singled up the middle. Perfect game right out the window. Not only did he lose the perfect game, the no-no went right out with the trash, too.
Murray, unbelievable.
Murray crapped all over Lucas Giolito. It took 5 seconds to have effect.
Steven in the car on the Salts. Hi, Steven.
Hi. I wanted to say I think the Celtics should trade Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart to get a legit superstar.
Who?
Because you can't win in this league without someone with that killer instinct.
Okay. So hold on. I'm the Bucks. Giannis for Smart and Jaylen Brown. Would you do it, Celtics fans?
Yes.
Yeah, I suppose.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Not that good of a shooter, man. Yeah.
He would dominate the game at the defense. He was a defensive player of the year again. And he's not useless on offense. You think you lose the Adebayo matchup if you have Giannis?
Yeah, I just watched it happen. They beat us in five games.
They beat us
in five games. Giannis wasn't much.
Not with the coaching the Celtics have.
Oh, wait, now the coaching matters?
Well, I mean, I think it matters a little bit in terms of getting something out of your town. Budenholzer's a boob.
He's not a boob.
I think that I hate the way they play more than anybody.
Well, I just find Giannis so limited. This year in this bubble and how it was set up for them and the way that they got their asses kicked by Miami, that was like kind of...
What does Brown and Smart get you? It's just my question. Giannis comes to mind because, who knows, he might be on the market.
I mean, he gets you something pretty good,
what?
I think, because of Brown.
Yeah?
I mean, I don't know if it's Giannis.
How about Paul George?
I think Tatum, it kind of is Paul George.
You have to hide the women and children, apparently, from this guy. You can't let the... Can't let the family members come to the team functions?
Too similar to Tatum.
I think he's got dog in him both on and off the court.
Yeah, too similar to Tatum.
The stuff you were showing me yesterday has me concerned about him.
I want something different. Let's go back to what the Celtics were when they last won. They had Pierce, who was kind of the pure scorer. They had Allen, who was a sniper. And they had Garnett, who was, two-way and a defensive force. Like, they were all different. I think that's how you have to build it.
What if it was Klay Thompson?
Klay Thompson, I like.
I would do that.
But again, Brown, they don't have a pure sniper.
Brown
I'll take
and
that.
Smart for Klay Thompson. Go ahead, Stu.
Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart for a package including Bradley Beal.
Oh, I would do that. I love him.
Okay, I just want to see Danny Ainge have his balls drop again. I think they've embedded them. They've shriveled up inside of his pelvic structure there. I need trader Danny, not hoarder Danny. I need to take a hard look at his roster and say, yeah, we do need to mature some, and we should have more ceiling because these guys have to get older, but there's also something not quite right. You know, these guys are not rookies, and they're hucking chairs at each other after a playoff loss, and it didn't really get better. I mean, they won a couple games after that, but they still lost in the same way. They were still a panic sandwich whenever, you know, the heat got turned on in that series. Sorry for the punt. You know what I mean? It's like, no, there's something not right there between Smart and Brown and the whole Tatum mix. There's just, never mind, you have a big guy problem. So take a look at your roster and make a real hard choice and make a move.
I'm telling you, Smart's the one to move. Smart is the one to move.
Yes, Stu.
I heard B-Rob talk about the fact that the Golden State Warriors writers are suggesting a Marcus Smart for the number two overall pick and a trade exception. Would you do that?
Yeah, so I'm giving him another pick?
No.
So, well, number two is nice. I thought this draft blew. I thought this draft sucked.
I mean, I was just going to say, I think it is supposed to be a bad draft.
Well, right? The idea is you get the number two pick, the trade exception, and you swing that for some veteran.
When you start talking trade exception, eyes roll up in the back of my head. I'm not, you know, I can't do that, exception.
You know who's projected as the number two pick?
Hold on. Oh, Ball.
LaMelo.
The ball kid.
LaMelo Ball.
Oh, yeah, that'll help the locker room.
Oh, no.
Have Papa come along and talk to the fellas.
Oh, no, 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 no.
It's almost as good as Jason Tatum taking advice from Kyrie Irving, which is happening. Yeah, let's introduce the old man Ball to the whole thing. All right, so again, Bruins going forward, Celtics going forward. We'll circle back to the Patriots and the Chiefs. And was there a lesson last night in the Chiefs-Ravens game? We'll get back to that topic with your calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Lamar Jackson will not win these games if the Ravens don't develop him as a passer. That was the point I was making. If the Baltimore Ravens are going to win a Super Bowl and Lamar Jackson is going to continue to ascend, he's going to have to operate from the pocket. Lamar Jackson said it. I'm not playing Patrick Mahomes. I'm playing their defense. No, you're playing Patrick Mahomes because 9 times out of 10, he's going to take a lead and dictate what you have to do offensively to win the game. They've been drunk on success of having everybody tight to the line of scrimmage, being able to run these exotic type run situations, send two people out in a route, and they wide open because everybody's concerned about the run. Well, guess who ain't gonna be concerned about that? The Chiefs. Why? Because Patrick Mahomes gonna put up a 40 burger usually on any defense, especially the ones that blitz a lot. I rest my case.
There's Marcus Spears on the Get Up program, the Greenberg Experience, that we recite often. But that was last night's game. I think he's dead on. And I think it's applicable to this Patriots team. It was applicable last year in the Super Bowl. This sort of mythologized and I think cliched approach against great quarterbacks. Run the ball down their throat. Keep them off the field. Like, it's a cliche. Even though there is some truth to it. But the point is, you can run the ball as much as you want. Mahomes is going to put up points. And if your guy can't sit in the pocket and pick up 3rd and 7 and throw some touchdown passes, you're not going to beat them. You can come close. San Francisco came close in the Super Bowl last year with a heavy running approach. Garoppolo had to make a through throws in the late in the game. He couldn't do it, and they lost. You walked in there to the AFC title game the year before, ran the ball beautifully, kept the score down. Then Kansas City scored like 24 points in 14 minutes, and Tom Brady had to play out of his boobs in the fourth quarter of overtime, completing all those third downs for you to pull out that game. And so the Pats can run the ball and bully ball and do as much as they want with this running game and Cam Newton, all of that. Mahomes is going to get his, and Cam Newton at some point is going to have to go back on his fifth step, read the defense, and deliver a ball on third down to move the chains or go in and get a score. And is he, are they capable of it at this point?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Not with what he's got to throw to.
That Seattle game didn't tell you that they're capable of it?
No.
Because Seattle's defense sucks.
Seattle's given up almost 1,300 pass yards in three games. 1,292, to be exact. Think of that. Over 400 yards a game on average the Seattle Seahawks have given up. And the two worst teams in the league in terms of yards per pass attempt, Seattle 32, Miami 31. The Patriots have played them both. And those are the two games I would say where they threw. And you went, well, maybe there is something there. Because even in the Miami game, in the second half, if you've noted more than once, those first couple of drives, Cam Newton dropped back and fired it over the middle. But so now what happens this week? I don't like their chances. And the other thing I love about that Spears comment is him saying, you know, this idea that, well, you're actually playing against the Chiefs defense. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because you've got to put up points, and the other guy on the other side is going to put up a big number. So you're going against the other quarterback. I can't tell you how much I hate that. To me, that's always sort of a cop-out.
Yeah, lets them off the hook.
Right. It is. It's also the lament of a loser, someone who's afraid to put it in those terms.
The other guy's going to make plays, are you?
Right. So I just think that's a big one. And this is how it relates to Lamar Jackson, who's a fabulous athlete. Again, he's the fastest guy in the field. In his career right now.
I'm not
now,
sure he's faster than his kick returner. Did you see that kickoff
return?
Oh,
he can fly.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, he motored. That guy can move. And Kansas City's got some fast guys, too. But there was a lot of speed on their field last night. Independent of that, 21-6 in his career counting postseason. 0-3 against Mahomes. 0-2 in the playoffs. 21-1 against everybody else.
That's crazy.
So what does that tell you? Like, it tells me that as soon as they go up against a good team that probably has a functional quarterback, that they're in trouble, especially if they get behind.
Well, except they did lose it to Tennessee last year,
they
right?
did. Yeah, they did.
And what was the playoff loss the year before?
The Chargers.
Yeah, and it was Jackson looked horrendous
in
that game.
Yeah, he had just been named starter a few weeks before that, though. Like, they had.
Yeah, yeah, it was early. I mean, again, I'm just giving you the stat.
Yeah,
I'm not telling you it's perfect. But I'll tell you what, just keep it to Mahomes. 0-3.
0-5 when facing a 10-point deficit, too. Like, there's some stats that aren't great for Lamar Jackson. I don't know. He got let down by some of his receivers. That tight end, Andrew, sucked last night. He had, like, three or four drops. But, I don't know. There's still a lot to be desired there. Like, and what he said after the game, I hate.
But, Murray, I'll tell you what. When you say...
What he said after the game, just in case you didn't know, is that they're my kryptonite. But we don't care. About Jackson, I just care how this relates to the Patriots.
Well, so, your point about Andrews had a couple of drops, I think that speaks to the Baltimore passing game. I mean, if we don't want to put it all on Jackson, we don't have to. The Baltimore passing game is not good enough.
Oh, sure, yeah. No, that's how it compares to the Patriots. Like, some of their weapons aren't that great.
You have to throw to beat a team like Kansas City. You have to.
Yeah, the Ravens play one receiver, don't they? Don't they play, like, three tight ends?
Basically.
One receiver?
Yeah.
The way it relates to the Patriots is that it's kind of a similar approach where, Baltimore likes their defense. It's not what it used to be, but they've built it back up. And they got the strangler out there at corner. They're going to run the ball and control the clock and win that way. And it's just, Casey's too prolific. Mahomes is too good.
I mean, can you really beat Kansas City 17-16?
So how are you going to beat him?
You got to throw it.
How are you going to beat him?
You got to hope he makes mistakes.
So, look, I don't know that they're ready to beat
him. You don't think Cam Newton is capable? I just saw him against Seattle. So you're totally discounting Seattle.
Seattle's defense is garbage.
When he threw almost 500 yards, almost 400 yards.
396, I think it was,
He threw it all over the lot.
Yeah.
So that's purely because Seattle blows.
I think it's mostly because of Seattle. And I think there were two things at work there. One is that Seattle's pass defense has been dog crap. Absolute dog crap. The second thing is they play zone. So I think it's easier to throw there. Now, it felt to me like Oakland manned up. And I don't know that the Patriots receivers right now, at least, are ready to beat man coverage. Not regularly. So you add those things together. Now, I don't know how Kansas City is going to play it this week. Maybe they play zone. And maybe Newton's more capable of picking apart his own than Lamar Jackson is, in which case the Patriots will be fine. But to beat Mahomes, really, when we look at it, don't you think they have to get in the 30s?
Yes. I mean, have to get to 30. Yes. Yeah,
so let's say that you hold them to 27. Now you still got to get 28.
Although you just mentioned it, but what was the score of the game here?
23-16.
Yeah.
Last year.
How'd you hold them to 23 points?
So
Mahomes had just come back from the injury.
Yeah, he wasn't that great.
Right. So, but the other games that he's played against the Patriots, he scored in the AFC Championship game was 31 all in the second half, if I'm not mistaken, or most of them. And then the other game, they scored 40. It was a 43-40 game. It was a regular season game in Foxborough. It was another night game. So they're going to get their points. And so the only way that, to me, that it could go the other way, and look, I'm not saying the Patriots have no chance, but I think Kansas City would have to be complicit in slowing the game down, hand the ball off, and I just don't think Andy Reid wants to do that.
Yeah, so, and Maz is saying it's a good point, too, is you dare KC to run because that's going to keep the score down.
Correct.
You know, even if that little rookie is running all over the place and he's terrific, I don't care. If you run the ball, that slows, that keeps the score down. It doesn't necessarily slow the game. It keeps the scoreboard down.
Right. It's just going to take him longer to get down the field, right? More plays. It doesn't. So, look, Belichick has taken that approach against Peyton Manning. He's done it on more than one occasion. Manning came in here with Denver when Welker was on the team, if you remember that game. No Sean Moreno, I think, ran for 200 and something yards. The Patriots won the game because Manning didn't put the ball up.
Murray, give me a score this week.
I'm going to say Kansas City 31, Patriots 17.
I was going to say 30-17.
Borderline blowout, Murray?
Yeah.
And you're looking forward to it?
I just think it's time for a little bit of a reckoning here. It feels a little bit premature. It's a nice story with Cam Newton so far. It's just...
You think we're all getting a little ahead of ourselves?
Yeah, very ahead of ourselves. Let's extend Cam Newton. This is the guy. Let's lock him up for the next few years. This is the team. They're going to be competitive this year. They'll be in the AFC Championship game. Like, everyone needs to pump the brakes just a little bit. It's premature.
Why do you want why do you want brake pumping as a Patriots fan? Why don't you want more, more of the good times? Why do you want bad times as a fan?
Oh, because I'm still paying attention to a certain quarterback down in Tampa, and I'm keeping score, you see. Because for this year in 2020,
thank you.
I want a certain quarterback,
Tom over team,
to have more wins and be more successful than
As a Tom over team guy, yeah. you need this week.
It'd be nice.
Don't let the Patriots win this week.
Yeah.
And not just lose, but get put in their place a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's time for a little reset, because it's they're fine. They're fine without Tom. People talking like Tom Brady was some kind of burden here for the last 20 years, you a-holes. Oh, you and your short memories. Oh, I can't stand you all. But so now, yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice for a little bit of reckoning, yeah.
Okay. They're not going to get blown out.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They have a way of hanging in games.
They're not going to get blown out. Now, in the fourth quarter, when they have to make the pass, are they going to Jimmy G it and chuck it over the guy's head? Or are they going to complete the balls like Brady? I would probably vote for that first thing.
What's the line?
Chiefs 7, last I looked.
Ooh. When's the last time you could grab 7 points as a Patriots fan? Seriously. I mean, when in Castle's year, were you ever a dog by 7 points?
Let me double check. I'll have to look at my phone.
I mean, that's a lot.
Was it 4.5 in Seattle?
Yeah, 4.5, yeah.
When's the last time you grabbed 7 points? Out there. Think of that. 7 points for the Patriots. I love it. I love 7 points.
7 points.
That's a big number. I try to stay away from Patriots games. My judgment's clouded.
When's the last time they got 7 points in a football game? It must be forever.
Like 2000.
I'm talking like 20 years.
2001.
Honestly, I'd like to know that. So Google that, Murray. Here comes Murray's update, the latest on the COVID situation in the NFL. We did have some breaking news on that. So here's the latest, and I promise your calls the rest of the way.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Welker and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tyreek Hill is now in the backfield after shifting. Sprint on action. They shovel it into the sausage. Touchdown, Kansas City. An inside shovel pass. The sausage surprises the Ravens on a 5-yard touchdown shovel to the sausage, Anthony Sherman.
Like we said earlier, Murray, you never want the sausage surprise. That kid's from here?
Apparently.
The sausage?
North Attleboro or something? Is that what Bedard said?
I guess.
Hey, went to UConn. Let's see. Pulling him up here. Yeah, North Attleboro. There you go.
Nothing, a little surprise sausage on a Monday night.
Action. They shovel it into the sausage.
I have to say, I like that play. That was it's your typical sort of inside screen. It's fine, but I love the fact that Mahomes underhanded it.
Honestly, I think half the stuff Kansas City does is completely ridiculous. Now it is. When you have Alex Smith, fine. Bring this guy in motion, that guy in motion, fake left, fake right, throw it in the middle, shovel to the sausage, tight end eligible. We're going to motion this guy over here. We're going to fake a pass over there. Then we're going to wheel around 360 over here, fake that, and throw a backside screen to the sausage. Like when you have some bum quarterback, fine. Trick it all up. You've got the best receiver, the best quarterback, the best tight end. You've got two other receivers who run like the wind. And now you've got this amazing freaking running back. It's like, if you just lined up in an I formation and handed it off or did a play action to Kelce, I bet you he's going to be open and you're going to be fine.
That's a good chance of that. A lot of pointless deception is what it is.
I mean, don't you notice it? It's like, oh my God, the motions.
I told you there was one play last night where I was watching the game with my kids and I went, wow, that's a lot of movement for 2 yards. Well, and my older one laughed because naturally, you know, he thinks I'm funny.
Yeah.
But that's as an aside, really, it was ridiculous. I mean, all these guys are moving. They got 2 yards. I'm like, holy crap. But they are fast, and they're fun to watch, too. That bomb he threw to Hardman.
I was going to say, you like him?
Who, Mecole?
Yeah.
Yeah, what round was he
in? Jim? Second round, 56th overall. Huh. Yet another wide receiver taken after, what's his name? Oh, that's right, N'Keal Harry.
You don't think Harry's looking better?
Please.
You're not optimistic?
Yeah. Oh, he was worth that pick.
Hardman can burn. Now he's even wearing his shirt like Tyreek Hill. He wants to beat Tyreek Hill.
Back to your phones. Paul and Maine's waiting patiently. Go, Paul.
Yeah, hey, guys. I'm convinced that the worst thing to happen to the Patriots on Sunday was Sony Michel. I mean, I'm just afraid that Bill might think this guy's actually decent now and start pounding this friggin' single-speed lawn boy against the Chiefs, which would be a mistake, by the way. Good God, he's slow. I'd much rather see Taylor or Burkhead out there, although with the O-line playing the way they are, it might not matter much. These guys are dominant.
Well, you're going to see, what's-his-face, the rookie, our second-year guy, Damian Harris, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
He's back. So, but, I mean, look, Michelle was good, and if he got goosed by the fact that Bill was giving carries to the Taylor and Burkhead, and so fine. With Damian Harris coming back, give him more motivation. I'm like, I don't have a personal vendetta against Michelle. I just don't think he's, I just think he's average. But if he wants to play really well because he's motivated, give him the ball. We're fine with me.
I just like the idea of having a back in the backfield that can actually run and catch, who can do both. And look how it looked with Burkhead on Sunday, especially if they're going to have limitations with the pass catchers, both the tight end and receiver. You're going to need to throw to the backs. And so Burkhead, to me, 13 touches, most of any skill player in the game on Sunday. Like, I'm okay with that.
Tom and Quincy, what do you got?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Mike, you were asking if people were enjoying the path so far,
yeah,
or if they weren't enjoying the season or not. I'm actually enjoying it for a couple of reasons. One, they've been a different team, a different offense each week so far, which has been interesting. No one knew what they were going to do first week with Newton, and he ended up running it, like, I don't know, 20 times or something. And then the second week, he lit it up for 400 yards. And then this week, it was just every running back that they had on the roster felt like they were running the whole game. So I feel like a lot of the other teams in the league, they don't know which would end to plan for. So that's one thing. The second thing is they always come out in the turnover battle. They always win those. In the next few weeks, the only quarterback that they're playing that doesn't make a ton of mistakes chucking it is Mahomes. The rest of them, they're all up there. They're going to make mistakes. Like, I don't even know who the hell Denver has.
So apparently it's Mark Rippon's kid. Is that right?
It's his nephew.
It's his nephew.
Oi.
Went to Boise State, I believe.
So I don't even have to worry about that game. But
I'm not worried about Denver.
Of course not.
No, to me, but again, their schedule's going to get tougher because you're going to see real teams now going forward for a while.
Well, but again, let's just see. know the snap count and hold on to the ball. Let's see how far that gets him.
Well, so that's fair. I would have said the same thing even if Brady were playing quarterback. That you know, they were going against the AFC West and the NFC West. So now look, the AFC West, as it turns out, might be a one-team division. But the NFC West, I think combined, they're what, like 10-2? Something like that? I mean, that division's pretty good.
Dan in Brighton on the Celts. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, at this point, how can you not come to the conclusion that Ainge doesn't believe it's a championship team? And you guys can tell me if I'm wrong or if someone already made this take, but the one guy the Celtics had really no answer for was Bam Adebayo. And Ainge had a real opportunity to address that mismatch and upgrade the roster with Clint Capela at the trade deadline. So maybe he did try to make the deal, but, you know, the Hawks gave up nothing to get Capela. So he could have easily made them a better offer if he was serious. So I refuse to believe that he was. And he missed a real chance to upgrade the roster. And looking how the series played out, I think that's one he wishes he could get back. I'll hang up and let you guys discuss.
I agree 100%. You know, there was no way for him to predict the bubble and how it turned out, but that's how it turned out. And I don't know, even if there wasn't the apocalypse, though, I think you're the second team in the East. I do. You would have been the 3 seed, so you would have had to go to Toronto. And knowing what I know now, but the way you handle pressure, maybe you wouldn't have gotten through, but you should have. You're still more talented than Toronto. And it should have been you and the Bucks against a flawed Bucks team, which we also know. So I would like to have thought Danny would have gone for it a little bit more, especially when I really just don't think he's given up that much. It's so many useless draft picks. And that's all it would have taken to help bolster that roster. And so he's either lost his nerve or he just did not believe in the team and said, you know what, I'm just going to hold on to all this stuff and make those moves when we're ready, because we're not ready.
I mean, maybe it was more the second thing. Like, as a caller said it, if you had known it was in the bubble, do you think they would have made the trade for Capela?
No.
Me neither.
I mean, but they should have. That could have been the real difference.
Yeah, which is why, though, I settled back on, you know.
I mean, maybe not winning at all, but you would have gotten past Miami with that.
Yeah, he would have made a difference. Yeah, he would have made a difference. Adebayo just took him to school. I mean, that thing was, you know, they got absolutely annihilated there.
Mike in the truck, go ahead on the Pats.
Yeah, you guys pretty much touched on what I was going to say in the last segment, but if they have any shot Sunday, they need to get the pass game going early and build off of that. Otherwise, they're poor.
Yeah, you know what? I was saying that before, Mike. The whole running thing, I'd do it in reverse. I'd come out chucking it, put points on the board, and then if you can get a lead, bleed them then. You know, like, do it that way versus the other way around. I've seen that other way around way too much, even in you know, even when it's worked. Mahomes has still gotten hot in the second half and put up, you know.
Yeah, he can score in 30 seconds.
And then you're still throwing at the end of the game.
Absolutely, which is why I think that there's no way around that. I mean, again, it can work in the short term. You can probably get away with it for a half. But eventually they're going to find their rhythm and they're going to score. I'd even consider going two backs.
Pony, like, the pony formation?
Yeah. Yeah. If Harris plays, put him and Burkhead both back there. Now you got to cover two of them.
Pat in Rhode Island on the Bees. Hi, Pat.
Yeah. I just want to say, you know, the stating the obvious that the Bruins blew a huge opportunity last year in the finals. The Lightning were an all time team. They won the most wins in the regular season history last year. Goliath got knocked out. The Bruins blew it. That was their opportunity last year. The Lightning were like Virginia a couple years ago when they got the number one overall seed. They got knocked out. They came back and they won the championship the next year. The Bruins lost to a better, more far superior team, and I don't want to hear about no bubble or anything like that.
Thank you. Losers lament. Lightning earned that. They're the best team, and you did blow it last year.
Well, look, and he makes a good point, too. That loss to Columbus, that fueled them. It did. The same way that blowing a 3-0 lead against the Flyers woke the Bruins up, and they came back and won the Cup. You see that a lot. Sometimes you need to get kicked squarely in the nuts. Maybe the Celtics can take something from that.
Kevin in Cambridge on the Bees. Hi, Kev.
Yeah, so I just wanted to make the comparison between how the Bruins have handled their roster and how a team like the Pittsburgh Penguins have handled theirs. You know, it seems like constantly the Penguins are turning over their roster with guys from their system or making trades. They're always ahead of the curve at the trade deadline. Recently, they moved Patrick Hornquist and they floated Letang's name out there in trade. Mm. And it just feels like the Bruins do the exact opposite. They're always behind. They're never, you know, being aggressive and trying to get guys in there to help out Bergeron or guys like Marchand. And it just feels like they're wasting the prime of, like, a Hall of Fame guy's career with Bergeron.
Well, you know, it's so true, though. Pittsburgh is aggressive. They are always making this move or that move or this – always. And it's true. And, you know, is that why they've won a couple more cups than you? Or is it the fact that Sidney Crosby's an all-time player and Patrice Bergeron is not quite, despite what you've heard around here?
I think it's got more to do with Crosby.
Okay, so, like, I know people like to call Patrice Bergeron the best all-around player in the league. He's not. He's not. Sidney Crosby is an all-time generational kind of player, and that's the foundation of that thing. But I don't know. I mean, maybe there's something else, too, that, you know, maybe that gives Pittsburgh the confidence to make those kind of moves. You know, we'll be aggressive with all the pieces around what we've got in the middle with Crosby, and we can afford to do it because Crosby's always going to be Crosby. And you can't quite do that with Patrice Bergeron because he's not that kind of talent.
Agreed.
But I think the Bruins have gotten too conservative themselves. Not as bad as Ainge. But it's time for them to shake up their roster, too. It's time for them to change up that mix. It's time for them to look at their goalie. You know, how many times can the goalie walk out on him before they realize this is a little dysfunctional here?
You know, give him another chance. I'm sure he will.
John in Rhode Island on the Celts. Go ahead, John.
Hey, what's up, guys? One of the folks made the point about Capella at the trade deadline. I'm just wondering, do you think Danny Ainge can handle, his ego can handle losing a trade in order to better the team? Because from a spectator looking at that, at the trade deadline, it looked like he was going to have to lose the trade in order to better the team. Do you think he's capable of that?
John, it's an excellent point. I think he's won so many trades and has pantsed so many general managers that he likes the feeling. And I don't blame him. I get it. What he should also know is that even when he loses a trade, like the Kyrie Irving trade, everyone's going to defend him anyway. Like, just know that. The green teamer's got your back, Danny, and all your buddies in the media got your back. No one's going to rip you if you get it wrong. So just go ahead, make the trade. If you get it wrong, the people will twist themselves into pretzels defending you like they did on Kyrie. He lost the Kyrie thing pretty definitively. Try and get people to admit that. They won't. You won't even still admit it, will you, Maz?
I told you, I believe in getting premium talent in that league.
So, Danny, you can make a move, swing and miss, and people are still going to say it was the right intentions. You made the right. So, like, what are you so afraid of? Make a move. Change up the mix on this team. Any final words, Maz?
No, not really.
Okay, then we're going to do the real final word, relive the big boy and all his lip-smacking, hemming and hawing, papal rustling glory.
This ought to be riveting.
Recap of Greg Bedard in the final word next.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nope.
Tuesdays during the football season means one thing. We're joined by Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. Big Boy Tuesday, if you
Big
will.
Boy Tuesday. BBT.
And with that, yes?
I threw some real curveballs at him today,
Seriously, though.
How do you feel about that defense? That was a trick question for him today.
No, it did. I mean, especially for someone who's covered the team for years, I'm not sure that's something you would think about on a regular basis.
Well, here's a recap of the 10-question segment featuring Bedard.
Woof. 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 Woof.
Number 10, there has been a COVID outbreak in Tennessee. Details have been read to you by Big Jim Murray in our update. Stay tuned for the very latest, but the Tennessee Titans have shut down their facilities until Saturday, which feels interesting given they have a game on Sunday.
Sorry.
What do you folks think? 617-779-0985. We'll take your thoughts on that topic. But
right,
let's finish this first.
Yeah.
Number 9, what player or coach across the league has come back to earth the most so far this season, Greg?
Drew Brees.
Good one.
Good one.
The Pats could take back just one player, one former player of theirs, who went to another team across the league. Who would it be? Who do they need?
I really don't want any of them.
But they need Kyle Van Noy.
No, he was fine.
Yeah, he's a putz. Who would you take ahead of Lamar Jackson if you were starting a team?
Mahomes, Rodgers, Wilson, and Brady.
That's it?
That's it.
Good one.
Good one.
Dak Prescott or Lamar Jackson?
Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott. Jimmy Garoppolo or Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson.
I lean Lamar Jackson.
Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson?
Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
Right now I'm leaning Josh Allen.
Allen has more upside.
No way.
He does. Lamar Jackson's limited. And so is Josh Allen. Who's been the biggest tool bag in the NFL through 3 weeks?
Burt Breer.
Good one.
Good one.
Who should be the most depressed fan base in the league? This is easy.
Yeah, me too,
Bedard.
The Jets.
Oh, yeah.
There's just, I got nothing for you. Sorry, Jets fans.
Number one, you have to pick one of these quarterbacks for the Patriots next year. Mitch Trubisky or Gardner Minshew?
Minshew every day.
Minshew.
He's good.
I take Trubisky.
He's pretty good.
He is.
J-E-T-S. Sock, sock, sock.
It's pretty much an accurate depiction of how that goes.
Can I add two more questions?
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah, this was great, too. Go ahead. So
let me set this up. One of these questions was at 2 o'clock, and one of these questions was at 4 o'clock.
Two-hour difference.
Can the Patriots beat the Kansas City Chiefs, Greg, playing bully ball?
Right now, Michael, I don't think so.
So, Greg, let me ask you one more time. Can they beat the Chiefs playing bully ball?
Yes.
2 hours.
Oh, that's so good.
2 hours.
That's so good.
That is great. Like, I don't know if we badgered him into it or he forgot what he said. Like,
wait, just one more time for those of you.
That's so good. Go ahead. 2 o'clock.
Can the Patriots beat the Kansas City Chiefs, Greg, playing bully ball?
Right now, Michael, I don't think so.
So, Greg, let me ask you one more time. Can they beat the Chiefs playing bully ball?
Yes.
Oh, that is great.
That is so good.
2 hours. 2 hours. Boy, he'd be a bad spy, huh?
Right,
wow, would he turn fast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.